We press on and on. Oh, it's in Jesus' name. We press on and on. Dear Lord, with the prize so clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Sing that again in Jesus' name. And it's in Jesus' name we press on and on. Yes, it's in Jesus' name we press on and on. Dear Lord, with the prize so clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Just lift your hands and sing one more time in Jesus' name. And it's in Jesus' name we press on and on. Yes, it's in Jesus' name we press on and on. Dear Lord, with the prize. Oh, dear Lord, with the prize so clear before our eyes, oh, we find the strength to press
of applause, saints. Amen. I want you to sing that song, We Are Standing on Holy Ground. How many are glad that they're standing on not our own ground, but the ground because God's in that ground. Amen. He's the Holy One. Amen.
And we are standing on holy ground. On holy ground.
Sing that again. We are standing.
Oh, we are standing on holy ground. Oh, and I know that there are angels. There are
that, amen. Amen. Now, we don't have any prayer requests or testimonies or announcements that I know of. Just a reminder that I think we will be having communion on this Sunday, I think. Amen. And then also the graduation for Sister Ashley on Saturday at 12:30 or so. Amen. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. Amen. If you need something from the Lord, just raise your hand to him. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today, Lord, as humble as we know how, God. We just thank you for just allowing us to come together one more time today, Father God, Lord. We know the day's approaching, Father God, Lord, that we won't be able to gather here, Father God. But, Lord, our gathering place will be above, Father God, in the wedding supper, Father God. And Lord, we just can't wait for that day. But, Lord, help us, oh God, just to praise you now, Lord, that because we know that we're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right now, Father God. Let us act like kings and priests, oh God, and on this earth, Father God, while we're here, oh Lord. We just pray, oh God, that you just grant the requests of every hand that went up, Father God. They defied gravity, Father God. We know that, Lord, there's a request there, God, Lord. If there's a request, God, each and every one of them have a need from you, God, Lord. You can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, Father God. Lord, we just pray, oh God, Lord, for the tithes, the offerings, oh God, that are about to go forth, Father, that they be for your kingdom, Father, for your glory, for your admonition, Father God, Lord. We just pray, oh God, Lord, just be with our pastor tonight as he brings the word of God, Father, Lord. We just come expecting, Father God, to hear from you, oh God, Lord. We just need more of you in this day, Father God. We come, oh God, to be corrected or whatever you'd have for us, Father God, tonight. We need you more than ever before, Father God. Lord, we just pray that you just have your way in the service, oh God, and Lord, be with the musicians, Father God, as well, oh God, help them to play, oh God. Lord, we just pray, God, that you just enjoy your presence, oh Father God. We enjoy it, Father God. We just pray that you enjoy our worship of you, Father God, Lord. Let us to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father God, today, oh Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'd have your way, Father God. We just also pray, oh God, for Bill Sanders, Father God, as they're coming to my mind, Father God, that you just keep him in prayer, God. The doctors gave up, Father God, but Lord, we know when the doctors give up, Dr. Jesus steps in, Father God. We know that you're more than able, Father God, and we just pray, God, that you'd have your way in that situation, Father God, for your glory and your kingdom, Father God. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, This is the Day. This is the day that the Lord has made. How many are glad this is the day? Amen. How many are going to rejoice tonight? Amen. Amen. And this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. One more time. Oh, yes. This is the day. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. One more time. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Amen. I don't know what key it's in. Maybe the best thing to pull it up. But how many are happy today? Amen. 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 Just want a smile on everybody's faces. Amen. reflecting on what's on the inside. Amen.
And I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm happy, 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 happy. In my mind, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Oh, Jesus is a friend of mine. Amen. Amen. And we'll just sing that song, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. How many can say that tonight? Amen. No matter what you're going through in your life, I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. There are people most everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart, all glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. With all your heart, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. And though these people may not learned be, nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide His power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad can say I'm one of them. Now they were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and powerful service came. Now what He did for them on that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so, how many are glad tonight? Well, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin. That will start the joy bells ringing and will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart, all glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One more time, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say, oh, hallelujah, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say, I'm one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that song. If my Savior calls, I'll be listening. How many are going to be listening for that call when the rapture takes place? Amen. Amen. I'll be listening. If the Savior calls, I will answer. And if the Savior calls, I will answer. If he calls for me, I will hear him. If the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear him. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. If my robe is white, oh, if my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear him. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my. If my heart is right, well, if my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart, yes, Lord, I will hear him. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. Nay, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. Be somewhere listening for my name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Man, would you sing that song, One Day Jesus Is Gonna Call My Name? Amen.
no singer. Maybe Cam can sing it better than I can. He can get up here after I do. But as our brother Cam comes, amen, let's just sing that song, One Day Jesus is going to Call My Name. How many can stand and say that with their uplifted hand, amen, that one day Jesus is going to call my name, amen? One day Jesus will call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I want to get so close to him that it's no great change on that day when Jesus, oh, calls. Sing that again. Well, one day Jesus, he's gonna call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I wanna get so close to him that it's no great change on that day when Jesus, he calls my name. And some days drag, and some days fly. Some days I think of the day I'll die. And some days thrill me, and some days drain. Hallelujah! And one day Jesus, he'll call mine. Well, one day Jesus, he's gonna call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I want to get so close to him that it's no great change on that day when Jesus, he calls my name. And some days I pray, yet some days I curse. The number of days I put myself first, but it's not what I do. The cross made it plain. And one day Jesus will call. Well, one day Jesus, he's gonna call my name. I hope I don't stay the same. I wanna get so close to him that it's no great change on that day when. That again, one day Jesus, well, one day Jesus, gonna call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I wanna get so close to him that it's no great change on that day when Jesus, he called. Well, one day Jesus, he's gonna call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I wanna get.
Amen. Good to be back. Good to see everybody here this evening. Amen. God bless you. Maybe just see you just for a minute. Brother Brooks sends his greetings to the church with love. And by the grace of God, it's a pleasure to be back. We had a wonderful time when we were out there. And just a lot of testimonies of what God did. And some pretty powerful, and well, they're all pretty powerful, but by the grace of God, it was just a real honor to be out there. But we just to share a few by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, there's a woman there who actually had a bunch of new people that were a couple new people that had come. And by the grace of God, the one girl, she got mad at religion, and she just said that she'd pretty much given up on religion, and she'd come, and by the grace of God, hadn't served the Lord, and by the grace of God, she made it into the church, and we ministered the first service, and she come up after the service, and she was crying, and she said She said for 10 years that she'd been looking for God and couldn't find him, was mad at the denominations, mad with everything. And she said she didn't know that there was a real God out there, she said, but she knew that he was there that morning. And by the grace of God, she said this is what confirmed it with me. She said my grandmother died 3 years ago, and she said everything that my grandmother told me on her deathbed, you hit today. And she said that I don't know if she thought I went to church out there or not, but she said that she would definitely be back, and she had never seen God on that type of a level before. So it's really good to see a few of the testimonies. The first sermon I preached about praying towards the temple, which really has been a blessing to a lot of people. And actually had Brother Dick, I can't remember if it's Wiggle, I can't remember the last name, but anyway, he's from Lima, and he had actually went out there to visit for graduation. And Brother Dick come up to me after church, and me and him were talking, and he just said he's about 84 years old. He said I'm ready to Brother Cam, I'm ready to die. He said I'm ready to go home. And he said I love God. And he said I can't wait to go near his side. He said I love being here. He said I'm really ready to go home. And he actually walked out to his vehicle after that, and by the grace of God, he actually when he got in the car, they called Brother Randy over first, and they called me over. But he'd actually left consciousness, and he was just sitting here like this, and his lips were getting blue, and his face was getting pale white, and he was completely irresponsive, and couldn't move or anything. And by the grace of God, Brother Randy prayed for him, and I followed up, and I started praying for him with him as well. And we got done praying, and nothing actually at that point in time, but nothing had happened. But then the daughter, the granddaughter, and the grandson started screaming out, and they started screaming out, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," and started screaming out like that. No, it was enough to bring tingles to you. But anyway, they started screaming out, "Jesus, Jesus," and in that sermon that I'd preached that just like Hezekiah when he was at death, he cried out to the Lord, and God brought him another 15 years to his life, and they cried out, "Jesus, Jesus," and right after they did that, he started coming back. And he come back, and I told the brother, I said, "Call 911. We better get him to get the ambulance out here." So they called the ambulance, and the ambulance come, and they took him away to the hospital. And this is the most amazing fact of all, is that the hospital could not find anything wrong with him at all, nor any cause of why that happened. But he was ready to get out of the hospital after that. But just a testimony that they followed up that sermon, and the first thing that come naturally to them, and I believe he was dying. I believe that he was either dead or dying at that point in time because of the complexion and everything that was going on. And he just told me that, how fitting that happens right after he tells me that. And then by the grace of God, through the name of Jesus, God brings them back, and they can't find a trace of nothing. But it was a confirmation of the word. By the grace of God, I had people tell me that they would never, ever forget that sermon. As long as they live, they'll never forget that sermon. And just a lot of things that were done. But there's a lot more than that. But I won't go much further, because if I will, I will be a long-winded preacher tonight. So I'm going to do my best to not do that. If you're picking up what we're trying to say here. But anyway, they send their greetings, and by the grace of God, it's just a nice time to come home, and it's really a blessing to see what God did. Amen. I might just say one more, but by the grace of God, as I had spent my time with Brother Brooks, I felt the anointing on him like I've never felt it before. every time I was in his presence, I could feel the anointing there. Then even after the first service, I was so wore out, I couldn't figure out how I was even going to preach the second service. He come and prayed for me, and I felt the anointing of God come upon me, and all my fatigue left. But like I said, there's just a real supernatural time in God, and almost hate to leave us having such a good time. But by the grace of God, we just glad to get home. We got a church, we got a rapture here, amen. And we're going to press into that. So if you'd like to stand for the reading of the word tonight, I was praying last night, and I feel like God come to me and told me to come this direction this evening. I'm going to actually be going back into some things that I had preached before and hit a different angle of things. Be going back into the Old Testament church ages this evening. I'd like us to open our Bibles up to Revelations 2, 4, and 5. And after that, we're going to go to 1 Kings 3, verse 3. I really love God. I really love God being real because, you know, I can stand right here right now and I can tell you I am dead tired. I worked hard today and I am absolutely dead tired. But one thing that I have come to find out is that once you start moving into the avenue of that gift, the anointing comes and all of a sudden you're not tired anymore. Until you leave, Ren, you get home. That's when it all starts catching up. So by the grace of God, it's good to be here this evening. And I'm not worried if God's going to be here. I already know God's here, amen. So I know who I am, amen. And by the grace of God, I don't always see what I want myself to be. But I know who I am. I know why I'm here. And I know what God has called, amen. So by the grace of God, Revelations 2:4. It says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Now the fifth verse. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Now 1 Kings 3:3. Amen. I just love how God revealed this. And I love it when I can come up here and by the grace of God, I don't have one quote. I just come up here and I got so much scripture, I'm not going to get to all of it. But we do want to lay this thought in here. 1 Kings 3:3. This is actually one of the first things that God had showed me when I'd been looking into the Old Testament church ages. And I just never preached it. I never fully understood it, but I'm understanding it better as the Lord told me to preach it, I believe. So in 1 Kings 3:3, it says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places." Amen. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we approach the author of this book. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we need thee this evening, God. And Lord, I'm not, oh God, in any place, God, where I could be of any benefit to you, Lord. I must leave, oh God, the realm of Cam Smith, oh God, just like, oh God, the church, Lord, must leave the realms of their individuality, God. And Lord, we must walk in the precepts of this word, God. Oh God, we must realize that our husband is here, God. Oh God, you have made yourself known to us so many times, God. How could we not make you number one, God? How could you not be our first love, Lord? Oh God, forgive us, Lord. Oh God, help us to move into the Word tonight, Lord. Oh God, reveal this book to us, God. Lord, I have some things down here, Lord. But I desire to go the avenue you want me to go, Lord. I just ask it, Lord, that you'd certainly anoint this sermon, God. Anoint the church, God. And God, you know those who aren't here, Lord. I pray you touch everyone, Lord, for thy name's sake, God, for thy glory, O God. And God, if there be, O God, a chance, O God, we pray, O God, that you'd, O God, take them higher as well, God. And Lord, we believe there is, God. So we certainly pray, God, that you'd not just, O God, see the chance we have here and take us higher, Lord, but take us all to a higher realm, Lord. We just ask you to do it now for the glory in Jesus Christ's name. And the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to recap just for a moment here. We understand that when we worked with the Ephesus church age, that the Ephesus church age was actually the church age in which God had poured out the Holy Ghost upon. Amen. They were, of course, equipped with the lion anointing. And by the grace of God, they've seen many supernatural things done, many things that were astonishing, many things that made people actually worship them as God, even though they were not God, but they had God, amen? And that's what made the feats and the acts that they did so supernatural, is because God himself was in their midst, amen? And when we begin to look at all these things, we'd like to say that if this church can get to Ephesus, then certainly it will be a repeat performance of all the heavenly things God has done previously. And then we understand by the message and by the scripture that it will go so much higher than that. Okay, amen? So by the grace of God, we want to move into this just this evening as we focus on the title of Israel's First Love. Amen. And we want to jump this back into the Old Testament after we reiterate a few things here and tie in a few of the loose ends that God has revealed, okay? So by the grace of God, you understand that it was Ephesus. They come out with a bang, amen? That they did so many mighty things, did so many great things before the world that the world would actually call them Christians, right? They would actually try to kill them because of the great things that they did, right? And remember whose enemy they were. They were the religious people's worst enemy, right? If you were religious, it would be something that would be hard for you to like, right? Because they were showing that God was alive while they were not able to do so, right? They would have a counterfeit, but not the real thing, okay? So notice, and we begin to look at this, is that God eventually comes and he writes these things about Ephesus in John's time, and he says, okay, one thing I have against you. You left your first love. They had left not the power of God, but they had begun to fade off from the Word. As far as they had begun to take creeds and dogmas, they had begun to what? The leadership, and so many had been killed off that now Satan was now able to creep into the church. And now he would make it what? Lukewarm, powerless, and formal, right? As was Satan's desire. But as you begin to look at this, notice he says that he wants you to repent, okay? So his desire was not to kill them off, but his desire was that they would repent. And we know the prophet God, in speaking about these things, his commentary of this, he said they had to go back to their first works. We said back to Pentecost, right? So the only hope of ever being restored was to go back to the original, all right? And remember what that is, Pentecost, it is first love. Praise God. So now, this evening, we begin to look at, and we jump right into the Old Testament church ages, because remember your prophet said, he said that the Old Testament Ephesus, he said it all began with Solomon. And how we had shown those things, if you don't remember them, there's always tapes and CDs of those types of things. But we would like to jump into this a little bit because we understand that these things must parallel. And these things, we are taught an important lesson when we receive this word, when we accept what God says, and we see by the historical facts that we see laid in this book, that God has emerged and showed himself to what? To be revealing a word to make you ready for a rapture. Amen. Amen. You want a rapture? You have to eat the book. Amen. Amen. And what God is revealing is important for this rapture. Amen. If you can amen that, you can say, God, I do love this word. Amen. And remember what your prophet said. He said, what'd they do? He said, they didn't love the word like they once loved it. So may we never stop losing, or may we never lose the love we have for the Word. Amen. So now let's jump into the Old Testament very quickly. And by the grace of God, you see that the first thing I want us to see is that God, He had chosen this age to replicate, or actually to be the shadow of what would be the manifestation of the real thing for the Gentile church, right? We know to no level that the Old Testament could ever be fully like the New Testament because they never received the Holy Ghost, right? So they would only be able to go so far with what they parallel, right? So we want to see that first off. But notice as we begin to get in this, Solomon, he was the gift, right? But we notice as what we're looking at here is we're looking at Israel's first love, okay? Now God had chosen Israel to have an experience with Him, right? And so much is the fact that He would, what, allow David to come in as king and put all the enemies under his feet. And then God would bring Solomon around who would, what? He would bring the land to rest, right? He would establish the temple worship. He would put the ark in its rightful place. He would put everything right where it needed to be. Even so much the fact is, He would say, okay, if you ever have any problems, look right back to this. Amen. So we want to see this in the Scripture and how it says it. As we move in our Bibles to 2 Samuel 12:24, I want us to start out right here because remember that David, he had an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. But remember, Bathsheba was called to bring forth David Solomon out of this lineage, right? Now, believe it or not, God had ordained David to be with Bathsheba. And remember what your prophet said? He said if David would have asked for her, God would have gave her to him. But instead, he went through the way of adultery, took another man's wife, and therefore it cost him, what, not just the life of a great soldier in his army, but it cost him a firstborn son by Bathsheba, right? Now notice this. Now, so God replaces the seed that He has in 2 Samuel 12:24, and it says, and David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. Amen. Now notice, this is completely prerequisite. If God is going to make you bride, God has to first love you. Amen? Because remember, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? But look at God. He establishes right off the bat, and He says that God, even from birth, loved Solomon. He knew everything Solomon would become. He knew the greats. He knew the flaws. He knew everything that would transpire. But yet here He still comes around and says that He loves him. Amen. Remember in your Bible, when God looked at Jacob and Esau, He said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is here tonight. I hope you can see that. But by the grace of God, you see here that God, in the 25th verse, it says, and He sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and He called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Amen. Jedidiah means beloved of God. Amen. So here we see God calling a man forth from David and Bathsheba, and God says, I love him. And if we move down just a little bit later, we find God calling Solomon to be a king. Now I'm laying a foundation before we start to move into this too far. Because I want you to understand, church, that everyone that took part in the Ephesus Holy Ghost, God loved them. He called them. He knew them. They were predestinated for the work. They were predestinated to stand with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So notice they would have to come to the place of reckoning just like we see this happening here. Now, I want us to jump in our Bibles back to 1 Kings 3:1. We see that God makes Solomon king. And as we pick this up in the first verse, it says, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So notice what Solomon does first. Here he's a king. He makes a covenant. He joins with a false king. Now notice this. And it says, and he took Pharaoh's daughter. Interesting. And brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Now notice this. Only the people sacrificed in high places because, notice, they still sacrificed in the high places. Why? Well, the tabernacle was destroyed. The ark was carried away. And when the ark was brought back, David's heart was not to build a tabernacle again. His heart was to build a house. So notice, it says, only the people sacrifice in high places because there's no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. So now God was giving them grace, even though it was against His word, to worship in high places. You see grace coming along here. But notice the third verse as this takes precedence. It says, and Solomon loved the Lord. He what? He had set himself to seek God. We see previously God loved him, and now we see that he loves God. Okay? Walking in the statutes of David his father. Notice you have to see this. What was Solomon's? What was his showing? And why is this important? Remember, in the word, things, the little things are sometimes the things we miss. But notice, it says he walked in the statutes of David his father. Why is that critical? Well, because David was a man after God's own heart. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 13:22 because I want us to see this for all it is. Because notice, it says Solomon loved God, but then it says not that he just loved God, but it said he walked after God just like his father David. And remember why this is critical, because David was a type of Christ. Remember the Old Testament, church ages. David perfectly typed Jesus Christ's ministry. He had to shed blood. He had to what? Fight all the wars so that there'd be rest for those that come after. And so now we see that Solomon begins this off. And he what? He is following perfectly after his father's footsteps. In the book of Acts 13:22, it says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. This is what I want you to see, which shall fulfill all my will. So notice what first love is. If you want to have a first love, you have to be established in God. What? Doing all of God's will. That's what being baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost is. It is doing God's entire will. You want to be established? Then you have to be exactly like David. The son of David. What's your comparison? Jesus Christ. Who are you supposed to walk like? Jesus Christ. Who are you supposed to look like? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So now, let's get a little bit farther with this. In 1 Kings 3:5, are you understanding where we're going with this? A couple of you? That's good. I'll take a couple. I get it. 1 Kings 3:5. Now, I want us to see this here. Because God comes to Solomon in a dream, okay? This is a dream. And it says in the 5th verse, it says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now, I'm going to skip all the rest of these verses here except for one more. But I want us to say that notice God comes to him, and this is right after Solomon, he sacrifices like mad. He does all these sacrifices and shows God he's first place. He does the merit, does the acts, and then we see God comes to him and says, ask what you shall. Amen. Ask for anything.
Come on. That's right.
Like a Hattie Wright experience. Amen. You just say it, and God will give it to you.
Amen.
Now notice, just like Hattie Wright, remember, Brother Branham said she could have asked for money. She could have asked for her sister's healing. She could have asked for any of those things. But within herself, something realized that that was temporal. And she wanted something that was eternal. So God had to come back around and anoint her because she was anointed.
Amen.
The seed within that woman was anointed to bring forth what? Not just her desire, but God's desire. And here we see God comes to Solomon who has a first love and he says, what do you want? He says, I want to be rich. The scripture says that Solomon, he said, I'm just a child. He said, and this people is a chosen people. You see what I'm saying? He said, give me wisdom that I might lead thy people.
Amen.
So God comes around and says, because you've asked this thing and you've not asked for money, you've not asked for riches or power, he said, I will give you what? He said, I will give you honor, I will give you wisdom, and I will do all these things for you, right? So God gives it to him. You notice that? The blessing comes when you ask for the right thing. You see, you might ask for one thing, but if you ask for the right thing, God will give you everything. You have to see that. And what's your qualification? If you have the Father's love, the Father David's love, if you can love God like he loved God, wait a minute. Are you thinking that you can't love God like Jesus loved God? Well, that's a thing. Who are you depending on loving God? You'll never perfect your own love. That's why you have to receive the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the only one that can love God perfect. Now, where is your intimacy? Your intimacy is laid in prayer. Right? And because your intimacy is laid in prayer, then what? When you love God, you show you love God when you're praying. So God comes back around and says in Romans, he said, what? He said, ask the Holy Spirit. He said, have the Holy Spirit pray. Because you don't know what to say. But he'll make intercession. He'll do all these things for you. So when you pray, you're supposed to pray through the Holy Ghost because he's the only one that can pray right.
Amen.
And love God right.
Amen.
Now don't get me wrong. You can't expect God to do everything.
Right.
I mean, he's going to. But he will not force you against your own will.
Right.
And the only way you can love God perfectly is if you're fully yielded to him. Because if you have fully yielded to Him, He can love Himself perfect through you.
Amen.
Well, you tell me. Can you love God perfectly without Him doing it for you? Come on, is this a theological argument? You ain't figured that out yet? Doesn't matter how much I love God, I feel like I can't love God, right? I need something inside of me that I'm so freely yielded to take over that it will what? It will maximize the experience in me. And David was the only one that we find even in the Old Testament that was a man after God's own heart. That was that level. And then we see here that he did everything perfectly according to the will of God. Wait a minute. Everything? Let's not start there. We'll never get done. So notice, he calls him in a dream by night and he says, I'll give you whatever you want. And we just went through this. But notice in the 14th verse, 1 Kings 3:14, he lays down an ultimatum here. And he says, if thou will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. So he brings it down. He says, okay, if you walk after me like David did. This is the first love. This is what God wants from you.
Amen.
You have to love him like Jesus did. Now let me give you another one. 1 Kings 9. This is right after the temple is dedicated and God comes to him again. We'll find this out in our readings here. I'm establishing first love, Old Testament right now for you, okay? And then I'm going to get to the rest of it. 1 Kings 9:1, it says, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desires which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. As he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. We only see that God comes to him these two times, right? Look, the third time he kind of comes, and if I believe it, if they count it, I don't know what these theologians do, and I don't know how to fully understand it myself. But God comes to him again, one more time, but that's the big one. Notice here, it says in the third verse, it says, as the Lord, and the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, thy supplication, that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and my eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me, now notice he says the same thing again. As David, thy father walked. Hallelujah. In the integrity of heart. That's what I love about it. I was talking with Brother Brooks the other day. Said, what is the difference between the Pharisees and the bride? Brother Brooks said, he said, it comes down to the heart. I said, that's exactly right. Because the scripture said that inside the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're full of dead men's bones. They're white-walled sepulchers. He said it comes down to the heart, what the heart is really saying. Now, notice this as we continue on here. He ties them once again, if you walk like David, my servant. I'm telling you, church, you'll only have success if you walk like Jesus walked. And the only way Jesus can walk is if you let him walk. Come on. Now notice this, as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So notice this. He said, if you walk before me just like David did, he didn't even bring it down to what was going to come up. He said, if you do it. Well, what is that? That is the establishment of Ephesus. If you stay like Christ, I will establish that. Well, that's why this is important, church, because you have to go back to Ephesus. But when you come back to Ephesus with an open book, then you are not going to fall under the same trappings of Satan anymore. You are here to perfectly finish the work that they failed to do. But it was ordained for you to do it. Hallelujah. It's your mountain, church. You take your mountain. Hallelujah. So notice this in the 1 Kings 9:6. He says, he's throwing the butt at him. He says, but if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. Turn at all from following me. If you follow any other gods at all. You see what first love is? It's unspotted romance with Jesus Christ. Of course, he brings the curse and he says, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and in this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. You're done. Well, what happened? He failed to lead Israel. And because of that, they have fulfilled exactly that. Where Solomon would have been the start of an Ephesus, 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 Ephesus generations. The type had to remain perfect. And they had to fall away. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Is this okay? You all right? Are you eating the word? So now let's move again, if we could. I want to go to 1 Kings 11, verse 1. Now notice here, right at the beginning when we started reading there at 1 Kings 3, it said that one of the first things that Solomon did, he made an affinity with the Pharaoh of Egypt. And in doing so, he took one of his daughters. Well, that was the custom in those days, that if we had a covenant, or if we had a unity together, they would give a daughter to someone and say, okay, now you have mine. We are one. Now notice this. God knew what was going to happen. And this is very powerful how this starts coming out. But I'm just telling you because I already know. But anyway, by the grace of God, in 1 Kings 11:1, it says, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Now notice it says he didn't just love women. He loved strange women. And the commentators put that as worldly women, heathen women. Women, because remember, if you're with God, you ain't strange. Only to the world. You know that, don't you? You ain't no foreign born to God. What, you're coming into the family with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So notice this. It said Solomon loved many strange women. It says together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites. It says of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely They will turn away your heart after their gods. Now, I'm not going to go there later, but if you go and read maybe later Exodus 34, 11 through 16, it goes through that law, and God tells them through Moses, he says, don't you go and marry any women from any other country. And actually, I think I'm going to read that just a little bit just so I can show you this. In Exodus 34, 11, it says, observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, Canaanite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant. He said, drive them out. And don't make any covenants. And what's the first thing that Solomon does? Now notice, this is before he has wisdom. And before he has wisdom, what? A seed of discrepancy is brought into his household. A covenant is made. And because the word had not been anchored in his heart, he was not able to perceive this. But this must happen so that God would fulfill the time. So notice, he says, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. See? Now notice with Solomon, it's going to become something to him. Yep, a snare. But notice God comes and he says, but ye shall destroy their altars, break their image, cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Now notice, 15th verse, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. You can read the 16th verse later, it's the same thing. But notice, the covenant would make a way for marriage. And God tells them before all this has even started and says, if you make a covenant, you'll go marry. Don't do it. You'll leave your first love. Remember, Ephesus was a powerhouse. But time was its enemy. And of course, the lack of the full word revealed, the loosing of the seals and all these other things, but the seals had not even been made known yet at the beginning of Ephesus. So it was there in type and shadow, of course, in the Old Testament. But by the grace of God, let's move once again back to 1 Kings 11, verse 2, as we finish this scripture. He said, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. But it says, Solomon clave unto these. He didn't stop there. The word did not stop, but it says Solomon clave to these in love. So notice, what was his one punch? What was the weakness that was upon Solomon? Was the love of women. So now notice, God is now having competition. But we just read that God's a jealous God. Now, we'll go a little bit more through this. A couple more scriptures, you'll see a little bit more. In the third verse, it said, he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Now, this is not just a king study. I'm going somewhere with this. Because notice what it is. So he marries all these inhabitants. with all these other gods. And notice what the women do. They turn his heart away from God. Now this is one of the most, to me, in the Old Testament, this is one of the most surreal, insane things that I can ever even think of. What God did through this ministry. And then we see what happened through it. This blows me away. But I want you to take a deeper thought into this. Because notice who did walk after God. David did. But David was always warring. While Solomon was at rest. And notice there was no wars while he was resting. You have to picture this. That literally you look and what helps you cling to God? The wars that you fight keep you clean, crying out to God, help me, God. Give me strength, God. Solomon was commanded to what? Live like his father. But he was given a rest. Which made it what? It was the easy life. And the more God made him known, the more honor come to him. So the more kings come to him, the more wives come to him. And so now he's beginning to get himself into obviously a little issue here. And the fourth verse, this is what I want you to see here. It says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old." So I want you to see this, that here with his first love, he was able to manifest the effects of that for a long time. But because he didn't have the Holy Ghost, he was not able to what? To keep that close experience with God his whole life. Because the sins he was feeding eventually got him. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand, you need to be looking at the New Testament. You need to be looking at yourself. Now, let's continue. "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods." So it didn't happen immediately. It took time. But notice, instead of catching the revelation and getting rid of the issue, he left it there and allowed it to continue to work on him. Like I said, and this is what's so amazing to me. It says, "And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Now this absolutely blows my mind away. "For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcah, the abomination of the Ammonites. For Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David, his father." Now notice, he's not done yet. "Then Solomon built an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives. So he built high places for every one of those strange wives that wanted one. Now notice, when he was old, that's what you have to keep that in mind. Because if you allow your experience to be stagnated from the first love, then all it will do, it will continue to rot and die out until you've completely, what? You've completely backslid. We're proving who we are. Now, catch this. He also, in 8th verse, he said, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Now, I want you to see this. Can you show me anywhere that Solomon destroyed the temple? He never destroyed the temple. Can you show me where he did away with the sacrifice? The scripture said that Solomon did sacrifices 3 times a year instead of the once a year. Now we get into the commentary. I love this commentary. This is K&D commentary. He says, but great wisdom and a refined knowledge of God are not a defense against the folly of idolatry. Come on, K&D. Preach it. Go ahead now. What else you got? Notice why he says, since this has its roots in the heart. Doesn't matter how wise you are. Doesn't matter how much you know about God. If your heart's not right with God, then it will not sit right with you. You see? You see why this comes into the message? Just because you know your quotes. Just because you have a refined knowledge of God, that does not make you filled with the Holy Ghost. Just because any of us have an anointing, that doesn't mean a thing. Remember, we preach intellectual giants. Remember, we preach anointed ones at the end time. It's coming down to the heart. Well, show me your heart. Now notice this. I'm going to read this one more time so I can read the whole thing so you can get the whole sentence. But great wisdom and a refined knowledge of God are not a defense against the folly of idolatry. Since this has its roots in the heart and springs, shoots forth from sensual desires and the lust of the flesh. What are you saying, brother? Well, the scripture says, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love the world at all. 16 verse, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See? So now the lust and the pride can get you if you contaminate it with any leaven of the world. Hallelujah. Lord. Now, I like how he says this, and continuing to read this. I'll try to skip some of this. Now, notice this. It says, consequently, the falling away did not take place suddenly. I love this. But gradually, as Solomon got old and was not a complete death, but consisted simply in the fact that his heart was no longer thoroughly devoted to the Lord. and that he inclined towards the idols of his foreign wives and built them altars. That is to say, catch this, it consisted merely in a syncretic mixture of Jehovah worship and idolatry. By the which, the worship which should be paid solely and exclusively to the true God was not only injured, but was even turned into idolatry itself. You cannot contaminate the word with false word. It has to remain pure. Isn't that powerful? Well, Solomon didn't get away from Jehovah fully. He just backed off and allowed some of the world to contaminate that. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in the Old Testament tonight. So notice here as we continue on. So God, once again, in 1 Kings 11, 9th verse, and it says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as that this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Repent, or I'll take thy candlestick away. This is a law, so he didn't get to repent. All right? All right. You want a little bit more? This all right? Now, I want to bridge this to you. Just because I find this absolutely, once again, eye-opening. What God does, okay? So notice Solomon, he's completely in love with strange women. He loves them. He keeps taking them. He says, all right, this is good. Makes covenants. Oh, not supposed to do that either. And look, this to him is acceptable. Now, let me throw your curveball at you. Proverbs 6:24. Notice it says here, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Brother, what are you saying? Here, within the wisdom of the book of Proverbs, he is literally breaking down the whole problem of his own life and telling his children not to do the things in which he had given into. Oh, just one scripture. Proverbs 22:14. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. Tell me about it, Solomon. You're building altars in high places. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Oh, God's mad at me. Proverbs 31:3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor the ways to which destroyeth kings. You think Solomon, with all the wisdom that he had, he knew what he was doing was wrong. He didn't have the ability to fight it because he did not have the Holy Ghost. But the scripture must be fulfilled. What are you saying? That was laid there on purpose. Do you realize that Solomon's day was a type of the millennium? Was a type of Ephesus. Good things. Notice Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Well, wait a minute. What does it say? It said Christ was sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. And Solomon says, oh yeah, in my book, said, yep, a strange woman, her words come to me like a honeycomb. Why? Because he gave himself to them in love. And her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. He's what? He's telling of his own destruction. He's breaking down his fall, his folly, and what? The product of a life fell from a first love. We say, oh, well, this is just for his kids. This thing was written for you. But it must be revealed. Where did this come from? It come from God, church. Notice this. Notice Solomon breaks down. He touches this. He says, Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp. Hallelujah. And the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Notice to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Do you realize that strange woman, the only time it's used in Scripture is in Proverbs, and this time where it talks about Simon loving them. Look it up. I did. I'm like, whoa. So notice, last one, Ecclesiastes 7:26. We all should know this one. The 26th verse, it says, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands is bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her. But the sinner shall be taken by her. What's Solomon saying? Chiefest of sinner. Behold, this have I found. Let's make this personal, says Solomon. This is what I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Well, he had 1,000, right? 700 wives and 300 concubines. He said, one among 1,000 I haven't even found. Why? Because here he's fully serving the devil in idolatry. Right. Come on, brother. Good. And he says, more bitter than death is this. Well, sure he's going to say that. Do you realize God come to him and said, he said, your throne would have never ended. This would have stayed forever. Right. You think he started looking at himself and say, boy, these women were a problem, weren't they? Gee. You see why this is crazy? This is insanity. He literally completely lays in the book of Proverbs the very cause of his fall. What? In warning those to follow after him. This is how I fall. You never see where Solomon changed his ways. Even after God come and rebuked him. I don't see it. If it's there, praise God, I don't see it. Show it to me. Help me. Help me, somebody. Now notice, let's finish this off. Because here I want to show you. Here they fell away from God. Solomon fell away from God. You say, brother, all you're showing me is a king and what the king did. All right. I'm almost done. I got some more stuff for you. Deuteronomy 17:2. Deuteronomy, this is when Moses was what? He was giving the word to the children of God. Now notice in Deuteronomy 17:2, it says, if there be found among you within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant. What's that got to do with anything? And hath gone and served other gods. Who's this to? Is this to the king? This is to Israel. Oh, glory to God. Hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them. Worshipped other gods. Like who? Like Solomon. Israel could have avoided the curse. And God judged them by the word. Notice. He said, and worship them, either the sun or moon, or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded. And it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, guilty, guilty, guilty. Yep, see the high place Solomon just built up there? Shame on him. Whoa. The word of God doesn't say shame on him. It says shame on you because you're the one that's supposed to do something about it. And it be told thee, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligent, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel. Notice, then shalt thou bring forth that man, that king, or that woman, which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. What should have Israel done when they seen Solomon pulling off? Stone him and killed him. Well, is this the word or not? At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. So is Solomon guilty when the whole nation is watching him completely make Israel a land of abomination? Right. And where do we see anyone scripturally ever standing against him? We don't, do we? You don't see it? Guilty. King Solomon, guilty.
Right.
Oh, you know who the only one who isn't guilty? The wives and the kings. Because it ain't their fault that Solomon said, okay, let's make a covenant. Okay, let's get married, honey. How's it their fault? Like we want to blame Balaam. Balaam sent the women down there. Balaam didn't put a knife in their back and say, okay, you're going to marry this girl. Oh, hallelujah. Well, you know. Come on. Just saying. Just talking about the word a little bit here now. Notice, we're not done yet. Almost done. Deuteronomy 17:14. I've never seen this before. This really jumped out at me. It says, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Isn't this amazing? Here in Deuteronomy, he is prophesying to them that when you get in the promised land, you'll dwell there. And after a while, you're going to want a king. He told them before they got there. Oh, Lord Jesus. Notice, this is great. 15th verse, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. So he's already saying, okay, you're going to reject me. But when you reject me, you seek the type of king I want. One, don't make him a stranger.
Right.
Now it gets better. It says here, 16th verse, but he shall not multiply horses to himself. How many horses did Solomon have? I can't remember. It was like hundreds of thousands or hundreds of them. Thousands of his chariots and da-da-da-da-da. Remember, they found Solomon's stables, and it's like this giant underground place or whatever now that they found. And notice here it says, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. But notice, what's the first thing Solomon did? He took Pharaoh's daughter and made an affinity with Egypt. He may have not went to Egypt, but he allowed Egypt to come back in. Notice when we read 1 Kings 11, it talked about Solomon. And it noticed, it set above all those things, it said the daughter of Pharaoh. She's the only one that got a name above all of them. And here we see the scripture. Don't cause the people to return to Egypt. Type of the world. To the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Look at this, 17th verse. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Oh my. Oh. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh. Oh, it's getting rough. Oh. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Solomon, he needed to stay a little bit more away from the wives and read a little bit more of the book. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Remember, you see a scripture when Haman brought, they said he had a naval fleet, and it brought back all these I can't remember how many pounds of gold it was. He says, constantly bring jewels, constantly. What did the Queen of Sheba bring? Riches and rare.
Right.
And what? God's type of king would not allow these things to happen.
Amen.
But notice, he told Israel, you watch for this. You stop this from happening. If you read the scriptures in between the 6th and the 14th verse, it talks about how God gave the commission to the Levites. That if anyone had problems or these things and that, they should bring it to the Levites, and the Levites would judge above all. He didn't say bring it to the king. He said the Levites. Go ahead and read it. Come on. Told you, it's getting deeper by the second now, isn't it? Notice, it says, and it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Did Solomon learn to fear the Lord his God? No, he fell away from God more and more and more. The people of Solomon, what they become, what? Lost in the riches, lost in the prosperity. And what? They fell away more and more and more. To the place that they would not even stand for the God that was Shekinah glory dwelling amongst them.
Amen.
Finishing up. 17:20, Deuteronomy 17:20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brother, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now, wait a minute. Don't you remember when Solomon become completely backslid in his old age? The prophet, I believe, is Agag, if I remember right. But he said, rip this garment in 12 pieces. I believe it was Jeroboam. He said, Jeroboam, you take 10. And then he went to Solomon and said, there'll only be, two of these left for you. And Jeroboam will have the rest of them. So what does the scripture said? Solomon went and tried to kill Jeroboam. Well, wait a minute. If he was walking like David, how would he have acted? When Absalom tried to take David over, he just let God have his way. And he was perfectly in the will of God. But here he had lifted himself up and he said, okay, I'm going to kill him. You know what's more ironic about this? God told him that God would not rend the kingdom away from him while he was alive. And he still tried to kill him. Mm-mm. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. That's why I'm happy tonight. God loves you. God loves me. I can't brag on myself. I can brag on God. God is a good God. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. What's my lesson? What is God trying to tell this church? Why is God telling me to come back to this? Then why does God reveal it like that? When before he wouldn't even show me nothing. You know all God revealed to me before? Solomon left his first love. I couldn't understand anything else. And then this just opens up and like... Well, you have to understand God. God wants you to get things when you need them. Everyone that's here is ordained to hear this. Everyone who gets on the internet and listens to that, they're ordained to hear this. Why is this important then, brother? Well, come on now. You want to make the thinking man pose or what? You have to understand that Ephesus, you must come to Ephesus. But once you get there, time becomes your enemy. Because if you allow any sin or any love to come between you and God, it may not be immediate, but if that seed of discrepancy has set up camp, it will destroy your relationship with God. You see, this must come back to a first love. You must look at everything that is before you, everything that is in your life, every order that is established in your life. And you must what? You must line it up with the Word of God. Everything. Remember we preached a sermon, the order of the Spirit. The order of house order. Church order. Everything must line up. Amen. This is first love. Make you legalist? No. I'm talking about crying out to God and saying, God, I want you as my first love. And when you get a little moving, stick with it. But you have to tear yourself away from the devil. I know how it is. If you're like me, I got things in my life I don't like. And you know what? I've tried my hardest to get rid of all the loves I have that aren't God. But I've watched God. When he wants to take one out, he just pulls it out. I watch other ones. He allows time to pull it out. But little by little, he takes it. But then there's the big ones. And I'm waiting for God to say, God, take the greatest loves away from me. And I sit there and I fail and God brings me back. I fail and God brings me back. A lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. But God, help me, I don't want no religious spirit. That's five times worse than any demon. Oh, God. Let me have some other problems, God. I don't want that thing. I don't want my experience with God to be religious. I want to be able to have a real God that I can talk to, a real God that I can love, a real God that I can at least say, God, I want you as my first love. Not that I'm already established, not that I know more than my pastor, I know more than this and that, or I know more than a brother and sister, but that I have a God who rules me completely. Let that word be established in you. You watch the pattern. Watch the pattern. I've done my best to preach the word, church. Sometimes I question all the things God wants me to do. God anointed some minister that I don't have preached very often from far off, not anyone I'm really associated with. God anointed him to call me a long time ago. He said, brother, he said, the Holy Ghost told me to tell you, protect the children. Protect the children. Benaiah, Elisha. Why am I supposed to protect the children? And how am I supposed to protect the children? Where does this all fall in line? Do I just say that's not of God? How have I done my best? I've done my best to preach the word. If you're an eagle, you'll eat eagle food. Where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. We do our best, but we have to stand for one thing. Stand united in the fight for what God's doing here. I look at everybody. Because if you are the children of the bride chamber, you can take what God told me. You can say, that was for me. I've done my best. I have failed so many times in my life, not to mention last year. 33 was a tough one. But I'm almost out. But I know what God's bringing. Don't worry. It's almost here. Hold on. Get your first love. Here's the thing. I can only live as high as Cam Smith can live in Christ. I can only live it as high as God allows me to progress. I can't live all the sermons I preach. I'm progressing as God allows me to progress. I'm progressing as I try to progress. Don't judge me by the word. I mean, you can judge me by the word if you understand what I'm saying. But you have to judge the word from the source that your Holy Ghost, if you've got it, says it's coming from. Because that word is for you. Is it for me? Yes, it's for me. But there ain't no perfect pastor. There ain't no perfect deacon. There ain't no perfect lay member. But we just stand by the word. Take your first love. Put them in action. Let's stand. I find it completely, like I said, I've been an amazed person. Because I can't figure that stuff out. God brings stuff when he wants. But I say this, God has a purpose. God has a mission. This is what I want you to see. Notice what God's saying. God calls you his own. God gives you the revealed word. God calls you to the first love. Every one of you to the first love. It's that simple. Now, if you've seen that that come from God, then God just told you something. That other Old Testament stuff that the Lord, that it was the Lord, absolutely the Lord. I had somebody from Samuel Browning's church just tell my wife, they said that they've been listening to that. They said for a month. They said there's so much in that. They're just blown away. I've had people tell me, I'll never forget that in my life. Yep, Cam sure is a good preacher. You have to see what God is feeding you. Even when I preach this stuff, I don't hear anybody come back later and say, oh boy, 1 month later, yeah, I just listened to that again. Oh my Lord, is that powerful. Because this is common to you. You don't understand that God's talking to you. Sometimes you say, oh, Brother Cam, you know, that's not quite a masterpiece like the other one. Well, yeah, y'all look at how you come in here sometimes. Brother told me, I'll never forget that sermon as long as I live. Another brother told me, he said, a brother told me, he said, brother, he said, with that sermon, you hit every question in my life from the full last year. Answered everything. What am I supposed to say? Yep. I didn't do anything. I just sat back and said, God, preach to your church. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. I'm not in a fight to be in the hierarchy in the message. That's not my call. My call is to get a church to the rapture.
Amen.
If you can identify the Holy Ghost speaking. Do you want your first love? That's what the whole point of me telling you all this is. God ain't going to tell me to protect you if he's not going to do it through his own word. Love you. It has to be a confidence moving behind what God's doing here. You have to be just as crazy as me. Say, yep, it's coming. It's going to be huge. It's powerful. It's going to be powerful. I'm not wondering. I know it is. There's going to be 5 people here. I don't know. Don't care. I'm going to be here. Because I know what God told me, what would happen to me if I left. But I know much more than everything I've suffered as a pastor here. This word that God has revealed. There ain't nothing like this word. I would suffer this 5 times to catch what the Holy Ghost has said here in the last 3 years. Hands down. I'm in. Let's do it. I am crazy, ain't I?
Oh, glory.
And I'm almost out of 33.
Praise God.
Praise God. Do you love God?
Amen.
Are you finding that God is trying to draw you to himself?
Amen.
Well, remember, faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word. I know I'm a little bit long tonight. But does that matter? If I had an evangelist in you, it wouldn't matter, would it? You're just saying, boy, that's a masterpiece. Ooh, man. But you have to understand, God loves you. He loves you so much. Let's sing a song. sing that song, "We Bow Our Hearts, Brother. We Bend Our Knees." Let's be a generation. Let's be the generation that finds the first love like Ephesus. But if we do that, that means we finish the work. Do you want to be that generation? Do you want to have that revival? I know this is a little bit more of a teaching, a little bit more of a deeper thing this evening, but how amazing God is. Let's just sing that song. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble, Lord.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble.
Hallelujah.
We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast out our idols. Lord, give us clean hands. Oh, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands. Oh, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks. Lord, seeks your face. Oh, God of Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that seeks our first love, Lord, seeks your face. Oh, God of Jacob. We bow our hearts. We bow our hearts.
Hallelujah.
We bend our knees.
You have need of prayer, you can come forth.
Oh, Spirit, come make us humble.
We turn our eyes, we turn our eyes from evil things.
Oh Lord, we cast out our idols.
Lord, give us clean hands. Lord, give us pure hearts.
Let us not lift our souls to another.
Oh, and give us clean hands. Lord, give us pure hearts.
Let us not lift our souls to another.
And God, let us be, hallelujah, generation that seeks. Lord, seek your face. Oh, God of Jacob, and God, let us be a generation that seeks
your face. Oh, God of Jacob, we bow our hearts.
Hallelujah.
Oh, come make us humble.
Eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure heart. Hallelujah. Let us not lift our souls to another. And give us clean. A generation that seeks your faith. Oh God of Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your faith. Oh God of Jacob. One more time, we bow our hearts.
We bow our hearts, Lord. We bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble.
We turn our eyes, Lord.
We turn our eyes
from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Lord, give us clean hands, give us pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another, and give us clean hands, give us pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another, and God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And God, let us be your generation that seeks your face, oh God. Give us clean hands, Lord, and give us clean hands, Lord. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another, and give us clean hands, Lord. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another, and God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And God, let us be generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh, and God, let us be generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And Father of life, seated on your throne of grace, it's only by your mercy we are saved. And Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name, Hail Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. Each moment is a gift from you to live. Oh, and we're only here to tell the world about your grace, until the day you take us all the way. Then we'll cry out your name, El Shaddai, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're relying on your grace, Father, and we rely on your grace. Adonai, and praise. Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. So we cry out, Lord Jesus. Oh, and so we cry out your name. El Shaddai, a God of grace. Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. Oh, we rely on your grace. Adonai, crowned in praise. Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. One more time, so we cry out. Oh, and so we cry out your name, El Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. We rely on you, Lord. Oh, we
leaving the podium, the Holy Ghost brought something that I need to tell you. And I kind of said it, but I kind of didn't. But God is telling me that I need to tell you this. When I preach this message, I want you to understand, church, that God is showing that in the Old Testament that there was no grace that could be given them to come back. Now, God told me to tell you this. I want you to make sure that you're catching this because you might not have caught it. But in the New Testament, it said, repent and do your first works. And he'll come unto you. That means that there is grace. There is grace to establish this first love in you. In the Old Testament, you had one shot and you're out. In the New Testament, you have what? You have repentance as oft as you need it. And there's a God that's there to give you that grace. Amen? God told me to say that. So that's for somebody. But don't give up on God. Don't hold back on what he's trying to do. Because he's trying to restore you to your first love.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. Now bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, you, Jesus. King of endless worth, King of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, Lord, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more, Lord. And I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart, my heart. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, Lord. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, Lord. Sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you. It's all about you. One more time. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All my chains are gone.
Amen. And amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my fear, and grace my fears relieved. And how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my me, oh, and like a flood,
unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. Oh, but God who called me here below shall reign forevermore. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me. And like a flood, your mercy rains, unending love, amazing. When we've been there 10,000 years, and when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me. Oh, and like a flood, your mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing. One more time, my chains are gone. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Savior, ransom me. And like a flood, your mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Let's give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Wonderful. How many can say truly they've heard from God today? Amen. 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 Song, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.